You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ads. And on the air now.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Not quite as hot last night. How was everyone's sleep? Ari excluded. You got ducked in aircon.
Oh, no, let me tell you, I suffered last night. I didn't sleep that well. We didn't really have the aircon on. Oh,
was it broken, was it?
Oh, no, just Mum didn't want to turn it on. I'm like, no!
We had the aircon on in the living room, and we're doing the old like relay race with fans, pedestal fans, trying to push the air into our room, like the aircon there. It's like all the doors in the hallway were closed except this little one that leads into our room.
Clever.
And, like, yeah, it's going around the corner. And
it was
like
a bit of a relay race, but it did seem to cool down the room a little bit. If not for a placebo effect, we slept better anyway.
That's good. That's good. Hey, seems that so you were door open.
No. We cooled down the room and then we closed the door.
You're not a door open man, are you?
No, I feel weird sleeping door open.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is, and you guys would be the same, everyone's knocking about and stuff when I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah, okay.
Like, everyone's out and about and they're walking up and down the hallway and, like, doing their bits and bobs. Oh, I'm just trying to sleep, you know? I know, it frustrates me. Anyway, I digress.
You do. Breaking news. King Charles diagnosed with cancer.
Now,
this is big. They're saying it is benign prostate cancer. Is that what?
Nah. So it looks like he was in. I'm sorry. It literally is breaking. So we're
this
reading
minute.
It like as it's all kind of coming. But it looks like he was in hospital for a procedure for the benign prostate enlargement. And then a separate issue of concern was noted. Now Buckingham Palace has not specified what form of cancer was diagnosed or what stage it was found in. However, he seems to be in fairly good spirits, and like all the talk is that he's very much looking forward to having his treatment and getting back to royal duties. So hopefully it's good news.
Yeah.
But we're still like
it's still early days.
Yeah, like you kind of alluded to there, we're all trying to work out as it's breaking kind of what's going on here and get our you know, heads around the story. But fingers crossed, well wishes to Tim and the family and, you know, everyone involved.
For sure. Look, it's, you know, tough for any family to go through something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure, though, they've got the best medical team available. And if he seems like he's in good spirits, I'm fingers crossed all goes well.
You're waking up with the Novos live across Newcastle and the Hunter. They're local ads. On the air now.
All right, so I know there's been some chat around the team about that new Big Bun Me shop.
Yeah, it's on King Street, isn't it?
Yeah.
I keep going past it. I keep saying it. It's so tempting, but I'm in my budget at the moment.
That's right. Aww. Well, no fear, Stephen. I've sampled it for you, so
you don't
need to.
Ooh. Okay. What's our verdict?
Yeah.
Big Bun Me, big flavour.
Good.
Ooh.
Okay, all right, so the pork one, here's a report.
Okay.
Pork, very tasty, and ample pork. So much so, I would say that there was a good handful at the bottom of the bag even after finishing it.
Ooh.
Wow. A good handful.
They're overcompensated.
Yeah, a lot. Crispy, like, sections. Mm. There wasn't quite enough to my... I would want more crispy if I had a choice, but flavour is great. I would say like 8.5 pushing towards 9.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, maybe 8.75, maybe in the middle.
Did you dabble like with a lemongrass beef or something as well?
There's that like red pork as well.
Oh, yeah, like the minced pork type.
No, it's sort of like, I don't know.
It's got red around the edges?
Yeah.
Like
a barbecue.
Oh, yeah, like Chinese smoked,
That was nice too.
Interesting, there you go. Now, they are called the Big Bun Me.
Yeah.
Are they like a bigger serve than what you reckon?
I would say so.
There you go. Yeah. So it meets up to its marketing standards. That's great.
They will not fail any marketing investigations that are put upon them. Big in size, big in flavour.
There you go. That's all you can ask for in a bun me.
Sure is. Yep, absolutely. So if you're considering it, driving past, not on a budget this week, swing in is my advice.
There you go. That sounds lovely. Hey.
For live and local news, there's only one.
From our 100% local newsroom in the Hunter, New FM's First at 5.
Alrighty, good morning, Jared. We've got a missing fisherman still out. The search resumes today, yep?
Yeah, he went missing off the coast of Port Stephens. Search is entering its fourth day today. The man in his 60s, he was swept off rocks with three other people at Fingal Bay on Saturday morning. The others were able to be rescued, but he remains at large. Exhaustive efforts have been underway to track him down. Authorities struggled on Saturday and Sunday. There were some pretty dangerous conditions along the coast there. Multi-agency search, police, marine rescue, surf lifesavers has been underway, and it will resume again this morning.
It's rough going.
It's been some pretty rough weather out there as well, I believe, like on the seas and stuff, so that definitely wouldn't have helped.
Well, a lot of the beaches around Newcastle and stuff are like even closed on Saturday, I think
Yeah.
Too intense.
Yeah, big swell and all that kind of stuff. Fingers crossed there's a happy ending to this story.
Changing pace a little, good news for the Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah, the numbers are in and more than 30,000 theatregoers did the time warp at the Civic Theatre during the three-week run.
Were you one of said time warpers?
I was one of said time warpers. It was a good show. It was a really good show.
Excellent.
According to Newcastle Council, more than 60% of those 30,000 were purchased by visitors outside of Newcastle. So that's providing a welcome economic boost to the city. And the attendance number has surpassed the record-breaking run of Come From Away, which was another Broadway smash hit that came to Newcastle early last year. It sold 21,000 tickets during a three-week run, and this one sold more than 30,000 during a three-week run. So we're going from strength to strength.
Well, I think Newcastle is ready for the theatre.
I'm so ready for Newcastle to be ready for the theatre.
I think there's like this perception from the outside that, you know, like it's not a Newcastle thing. It is, clearly. The numbers are real. And there's a demand for it. And on a side note, Jared, I want to know, how did you think Miff Warhurst was in her performance?
I wasn't too keen on her, to be honest.
Really?
I don't know.
Jared's review?
No, yes. I've heard such a mixed bag.
She stings.
Jared.
I don't know. I was a bit... I think it was a bit flat.
She's not a performer, really.
Yeah,
is she?
I'll give her that.
Background and,
you know what, though? I'm very keen to see what you'd be like on the stage, Jared. I think it'd be awesome.
Maybe. Give me a couple of drinks and you might see it.
There you go. I am looking forward to that.
Well, I was asking about Miff Warhurst because she's got a radio background, and you, Cremo, radio
I see
as well.
The segue there.
Is always like, acting would be so easy.
Well,
I think Miff Warhurst has done the same. Maybe not to the success she maybe thought.
Well, her role was the narrator. And in radio, you are the narrator.
Ah, come on. She wasn't even on the stage.
She was. She did come out on stage, but she just sort of stood there and read from the book.
That's so easy. Even I could do that. Give me a go. Let me on.
Well, you know what? Rent and Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap are coming up later this year, Crevo, and I believe auditions are open.
Oh, well, there you go. Good to know. I'll be going for the narrator job.
UFM. The Novos.
Death taxes and boomers out of their depth on social media. I mean, we've
all certainties in life.
It is, isn't it? It is the three certainties. We've all had elderly relative give us secondhand embarrassment when you read a classic, how do I delete this on their own post, you know?
Yeah, like on the Facebook.
Every
time, all the time.
But this happened to the extreme, this, I guess, social media embarrassment to former MP Craig Kelly. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen this story, but basically it looks like he's clicked the wrong button and shared something he shouldn't. Ooh. Now, I'm going to turn this studio into the Spiegel tent right now as I try and walk the tightrope of this story and keep a job, not get myself cancelled.
Oh, God.
But essentially, the post includes a link to, we're going to call it, an explicit video documenting all the passion and raw emotion and attraction of a young romance, right? It's
an adult video.
Probably an adult video. Adults yeah, exactly. Only.
That was a lovely little dance around that topic there.
You like
yeah?
my little tightrope yeah. performance?
Good job, yeah.
Now, yeah, he's done a full Chris Pine, and he's crying that he reckons he's been hacked, Craig Kelly.
You know what? As soon as, like, this kind of thing happens, the first move of a boomer is to say, I've been hacked.
Been hacked, yeah. So this is the quote that he's put to his ex account, formerly Twitter, of course. Earlier today, my account was hacked. I've reported this to Twitter and reset my password. Ugly stuff is what he said.
Ugly stuff.
The comment's pretty funny. Discourse around it as well. My favourite was, Craig, I normally come here for the political chat, but this is an interesting pivot. I think that is the sentiment. But you're right. They just do. The hacked excuse is one that gets thrown around all the time, isn't it? And I think what I love the most about when this happens to boomers is the panic of them not knowing how to delete it
or how to undo deal it. With it. Yeah.
Because, you know, like if you accidentally share something or you accidentally send a message, as you know, people who all grew up in the social media generation, you just unsend that.
Click
or you
unsend.
Unshare it. Or delete it. Or whatever it is.
Straight away.
You know?
Yeah.
But they like, they sit there, you just know they're calling their kids.
I've done something.
I've screwed up here. Don't ask what. Don't ask me why. You're not allowed to ask any context. How do I delete my Twitter? What, all of it? The account? Well, no, the little tweet thing. How do I delete that
How
one?
How do I get rid of that? You mean X, you old boomer.
Oh, this is terrible.
He's done an oopsie-doopsie, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Big time.
100% locally made. Live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
So school back into the full swing this week. They had that like one day or half week or whatever it was last week.
The swimming carnivals as well.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't really a school week, was it? It was like a chance to go back and catch up with your mates before Monday. You get all this out your system Thursday, Friday.
We'll
really start on Monday.
Get all the yah-yahs out of the kids. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like. Anyway, so school back in the full swing this week, which means, and you can attest to this, Ari, I'm sure, kids are back at the gym. Oh, the school uniforms are back in force.
The teeny boppers,
Yesterday I was at Revo in Charlestown, and God, it seemed like every second machine had some kid with a school uniform on it. They are back and with a vengeance.
And they're wanting to get ripped for the new year.
Yeah, well, that's it. They've just had the swimming carnival, like you said, Ari. They've gone, bugger.
Rig's not ready.
Wasn't quite ready. Next year's my year, though. Next year will be the year.
Yeah.
Who knows how long they'll last, but yeah.
About 10 minutes on TikTok. Gym's not for me. I like watching videos on my phone better.
But yeah, they were out with a force on Monday. They were absolutely everywhere. So I guess gym goers, beware. Maybe like just block out the hours between like 3 and 4.
Go at different times.
Go any other time, basically, because it looks like that'll probably be the busiest.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to change my gym schedule now. And I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, Newcastle's got quite the creative flair. It's also quite culturally diverse. So a crime mystery novelist has come out and written a book based on Amid the Legal and Police Worlds of Newcastle.
Oh, that sounds juicy.
Yeah, very crimey. So it's marketed as a blend of suspense and action and also a splash of romance. The book is actually called Glenrock. It's written by Lee Christine. She's actually a local. It's set in the Glenrock State Conservation Area. So, you know, an up near Cahiba kind of Merriweather based area. So it's like you go bushwalking and things through there, right?
You've seen it. Yeah. So already the, I guess, trap has been set.
Yes.
The snares have been set.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, that because the forest can be a mysterious, dark and dangerous place.
Yes, and people tend to go missing in forests and things like that.
Oh, do they now?
Okay, so the story, I'll give you a quick little blurb. It's a judge who is murdered in the Glenrock bushland there with a local senior detective from Newcastle called on the case to solve it. There's also two lawyers then later go missing and then a second body turns up mysteriously. So, yeah, it should be quite the interesting little book, but also so perfect because have you ever been bushwalking through Glenrock before?
No,
I can't say I have.
Okay, I think...
I feel like this will deter me. I might never, after reading this book.
Look, it's a place that I've gone bushwalking quite regularly, so I can see exactly where this Lee Christine has gotten her inspiration from because it's very hilly. There's lots of walking tracks and lots of places that you could possibly find a body turn up. It's very mysterious in there. So,
normally I don't mind a bit of bush, but this is scaring me. Scaring me very much. So it's putting me off.
Hopefully written by a local. And me and Chippy, our producer, were talking about this at the pub last week.
Right.
But sometimes when, like, places you know are put into cinema or into, like, you know, the written form, it can frustrate you, the geography, I guess, when they get it wrong. So, you know, I hope in the book that they're not, like, in the Hunter Valley enjoying some wines, and then like 5 minutes later they've ducked down to Bar Beach or something like that.
If it's written by a local,
hopefully they'll get all those details right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can kind of be like, oh, I know that place. Yeah. I know where that is.
Makes it even more mysterious, doesn't it?
And the fact, like you said, like because she is a local, maybe she'll, you know, have like, oh, and then, you know, we had coffee and I was interviewing some people using my detective skills in Hunter Street, you know. So she uses some of the local streets and things like that.
A little bit of name dropping.
What do you reckon would be the scariest setting for a horror film?
The cemetery in front of New FM.
Oh, the Sandgate.
Yeah, Sandgate Cemetery.
Could be there or thereabouts. That's it. I don't know. I reckon... Oh,
I'm just throwing you guys on the spot.
I'm thinking Adamstown or maybe... My dad's from Adamstown, right. So he says it's quite a little... It's got some creepy streets in there. I believe him. I reckon, not mine. Yeah, I reckon Broadmeadow. Maybe some Derby Street might have some interesting corners. I don't know.
UFM. De Novos.
Okay, now, something I want to talk to you guys about. Saturday night, went out to dinner on Derby Street. Saturday night was buzzing. It was absolutely heaving. Like, people everywhere, walking the streets, going out for dinner, for drinks.
It was a beautiful night on Saturday, wasn't it?
Mm. Just like, as the evening approached, there was a cool change through the air. And after the heat of the day, people went, you know what? This is the time to get in and amongst Newcastle and just lap it up.
Mm.
So were you one of said Novocastrians lapping it up? Where'd
you
go?
I was, in fact, a lapper. So we arrived at Derby Street, drove in there. Let's get some dinner. That'll be fun. And driving up and down Derby Street trying to find a park.
Notoriously bad, especially on the weekends.
Well, that's the thing. And even that little one in the behind the Bottle-O, you know, where you drive through the Bottle-O, there's a car park there.
Yeah.
Did laps around that.
Oh, the one near the Dell and that. Yeah.
There's nothing in there. Side streets. Every park taken.
Oh, no.
And as we're doing, like, the fourth lap of Derby Street, I was like, you know what it is? It's all of that street-side dining they've installed.
Oh, yeah, this is like a trial that came out last year, I think.
Yeah, so some of it's like on trailers, on the back of a trailer. There's people eating gelato on a trailer. You put a pot plant on a trailer.
So it's a bunch of food trucks and stuff, is it?
No, it's like just seating areas where parking spots used to be.
Right.
So they could, expand it out.
So on one side of the street or some parts of it, they've basically got some chippies in, like our producer, build decks, like wooden decks. Right, they hammer them up over the old parking spots, put tables on it. Some is literally trailers that could be towed away at any time.
Mm.
Now, on there, they've got these little signs with QR codes. Do you like the new, street sign dining? Your feedback. Newcastle Council. Love New Italy or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's still in the trial process.
But we were driving up and down, up and down. I was like, damn it, there's no place to park. It's because of these damn places, right? All these ex-parking spots. Then we got to dinner. Last available table was on one of these little street-side parking. And I was like, all right, we'll sit there. And it was a delight.
How the turntables.
Ah. It was so nice being right there. You know, you got the buzz of Derby Street, people walking up and down. You know, people watching was fantastic. It was cool because the breeze was there. We're not inside a stuffy restaurant.
Probably not as loud as well. No, the sound's not trapped. It can move out.
You can have a conversation. I was like, this is the dichotomy, isn't
it? Yeah, catch 22.
I'm inside the debate right now. And I don't know, on reflection, I think I really liked eating there.
Right.
Should we have more of this on, like, Beaumont Street?
Do you think, though, that, like, the experience of eating and dining out there was so good that you forgot the pain of trying to find a park?
That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
And because we got it probably within 10 minutes, but I could imagine on a busier night it'd be so much worse. And Beaumont's so slammed for parking anyway.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I don't know if they can. I just don't know if there's already, like you said, I think it's hard enough to find parks in town. I don't know if you can take away the the precious view we have.
That is true. And especially like that one behind the Kent. That's always already got people parking on like 20 different angles.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
in all legal different ways. Illegal in inverted commas. Oh, it's a tricky debate. No wonder the councillors have to have a little like to and fro on these things.
Well, they'll be on the decks, won't they? Enjoying a coffee or something while they work it out.
Definitely.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
Okay, so I had a little expedition yesterday afternoon, boys.
All right.
So there was this little post on my little Cameron Park and Surrounds community news and watch page, right? You know
yep.
how people are like, oh, my dog's gone missing or my cat's out.
Yeah,
can
all
someone
the usual
please
stuff.
Look out for it? Yeah. Well, there was this really interesting post. Someone has posted about a rooster, like this massive red rooster. He's a big boy. He's big as like an SUV wheel. He's been...
Well, that's a big rooster.
Well, he's just huge. He's massive. And it says, the caption is, not sure if this rooster has been living around here or has been dumped or is lost. He's on Fig Crescent in the new Cameron Grove Estate area. And naturally, that's near my house. So after work yesterday, I'm like, oh, I'll do the Good Samaritan thing and I'll drive around and look for this big boy.
What are you going to do if you find said big boy?
I have no idea. I was going to take maybe a photo. He's like, I found you. Do you want me to like follow him around? Or
it's like spotting Bigfoot, but yes. spotting Big Boy. Is that what we're naming it, by the way?
I don't know.
Did like, you see Big Boy?
Big Boy? No, I didn't. Ah. Like, I saw a couple of cats wandering around, so everybody needs to lock up their cats and come and bark.
Did any of the cats have a rooster-shaped stomach?
No. They couldn't. No way. Size of an SUV wheel, Crevo.
That's true.
Be a big cat, wouldn't it?
Well, there are big cats around.
Panthers and Jasmine yeah. that made their way to Cameron Park.
Look, there's a lot of bushland area, but there are some concerns in the comments saying that, oh, it was most likely that this poor thing was dumped. But we don't know that. Maybe he's just gotten out and he's just looking for a new home.
Well, yeah, it could be like that famous bunny from Mayfield. So famous, in fact, Dua Lipa wrote a song about him.
That's right.
Houdini. Ah! Houdini the bunny in Mayfield. Maybe Big Boy is the new Houdini.
Could yeah. well be. Keep your eyes peeled if you're in the area looking for the SUV wheel-sized rooster, a.k.a. Big Boy. Just yesterday, because we got back a couple of weeks ago now, or probably, I don't know, even longer.
From the Big Bludge.
From the Big Bludge, right? While we were in Vietnam, in Vietnam, they love selling these little lantern things, right?
Aww. Right, okay.
They're all decorated in different colours and they're sort of made of bamboo. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we got sucked into the lantern trend and
yep.
bought, like, 10 of these lanterns.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, bought 10 lanterns. Each one is probably the size of your head.
Ooh.
Right?
Fairly large.
Yeah, decent size. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, we got, like, sucked into the fantasy of hanging them up on the back deck. So, you know, nice. They'd be flailing in the wind at night and all the colours, different colours look great.
Perfect.
Anyway, so, we bought some back from our holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been putting them off. And then yesterday, Emmy's like, got to put them up. It's time. Otherwise, what are they just sitting in a bag?
Yeah.
Get them up there. I was like, oh, fine. No worries. Fine. Anyway, so I've climbed up the ladder and, of course, Emmy's directing me, you know, across more to the left, you know.
Yeah.
That's not in the middle.
Wrong left.
The other left. Yeah, exactly. That's not the middle. And then the ladder was like a little bit wobbly because I'm right up near the gutters. And she goes, oh, here, let me stabilise it for you.
Okay.
And stamps her foot down on the other side of the ladder, which breaks a bit off the ladder. the stabilising brace, and suddenly the ladder like loses its integrity and starts wobbling around like a large piece of partially cooked pasta.
Oh,
I'm on
God.
The top. Oh, my God, you know. I'm like, you know, put all my best collections in your will, you know, all this sort of thing in my mind. Luckily, I was able to, like, scamper down and, like, grab onto a pole nearby.
Oh, my God.
It was a close call, though. Ladders can be so dangerous.
Yes.
There is nothing more funny, I think, inherently than the old, like, speed wobbles. Like, you've got the wobbles on the ladder, but same as, like, if you're on a bike or something. Like, when the wobbling you have, when incidents like that, they're such a prolonged fall, which is what makes it so funny. You or same as like when you see people like slipping on ice.
Yeah,
you know, they try and save it for so long before eventually the inevitable happens
and the fall.
Yeah,
it's like a cartoon character.
Exactly, it is.
You're trying your best to stabilize. Oh, it was a very close call, but ladder incidences do happen. They are inherently a very dangerous tool because you're up so high. There's wind. There's slipperiness. You know, there's you overreach and don't balance correctly. People go too high on them. All this sort of stuff. And this is what I wanted to do. 4967 4105. Newcastle's ladder stories.
Oh, God.
Ladders gone wrong because they can be so, so dangerous.
I remember once my old man got stuck up on top of a shed. Basically, he was up the top there. I think he was clearing leaves from the gutter on the shed.
Yeah.
Anyway, me and my brother were playing backyard cricket and hit the ball onto the house roof.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we were like, oh, we'll quickly go up and get it before we tell Dad, you know, yeah, so no one knows we've hit it up there.
Don't get in trouble.
So we went and found the ladder, which he was mid-using in the shed. We took it and then used it to go get the ball off the roof, continue to play like backyard cricket. Then we got in trouble for abandoning him on top of the shed, plus hitting the ball on the roof because we needed to tell him why we took the ladder.
Double trouble.
Let's head to the phones. We'll go to Raymond Terrace. Morning, Greg. Tell us the incident, the ladder story, I suppose.
Well, I was painting a two-story house and I needed two extension ladders to do the job. So I put one on the first story, then I had to take the other ladder up onto the next story. Did reach the top.
Already a disaster.
and then I had to get up on the roof to do a little gable on the roof. So as I stepped up off that ladder to do the little gable, what ladder slipped?
No.
The second ladder, didn't it?
Oh my God.
Jeez, what happened next?
Well, I painted the gable on the roof because that's all I could do, so I had the pot of paint with me. And then the battery ran flat in the radio, so I couldn't listen to any music. And I had to ring the owner of the house at work to come home and move the ladder for me so I could get back in.
You're just stuck up there. All you can do is paint.
2.5 hours I sat up there for.
Wow. You're sort of stranded on an island up there, aren't you, at that point?
Yeah, so now I get in the big booms to do that type of stuff now.
Yeah.
The ladders are thrown out the back in the scrap heap they have.
Yeah, fair enough. You don't want to be stuck on top of a roof.
Oh, well, a big house like that, you would have had a nice view of this beautiful region we live in, wouldn't you?
What if it was a summer day?
Well, that's another issue.
1, 2, 3.
On new FM. This is the Novo's Three of a Kind.
That's it. This is one of our favourite games. It's called Three of a Kind. Basically, you've got to guess the themes between three different things that we're going to tell you, and you've got to play to win a family pass to the Maitland Show, which is coming up next weekend.
How good's that?
It's got all the good stuff. It's got the camel racing. It's got the rodeo.
You're going to the Maitland Show,
aren't you? I'm going, yeah. I'm taking the partner and my parents. We're going to have a great time, yeah. So, yeah. So basically, how this game works, your name's your buzzer. It's super easy. And you just say, I'm going to tell you three things. You're going to guess what the theme is. So
that's
easy.
First of two, best of three.
Yeah.
As our contestants battle it out. Yesterday's runner-up is Debbie in Raymond Terrace. Hi, Debbie.
Good morning.
Are you ready? Are you ready to win today?
I hope so. Yeah, I've got my coffee. Yeah. I'm right.
That's the main thing.
She's ready.
Yeah, that's it. Now, we do have to test for coffee. It could be a performance enhancer in this sport. But, you know,
I think it's allowed. Yes.
We'll allow it this time. Well, up against Deb, we're staying in the terrace. Mel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. We're very excited at the prospect of the Battle of the Terrace at the moment.
No one needs the Battle of the Terrace, let me tell you.
Your word's not mine. I've not said anything of the sort. Anyway, I digress. What we'll do here, like was alluded to in the explanation by Ari, is it's first to two, best of three. Your name is your buzzer. So, Deb, you know what you're doing. You go first. Test your buzzer out for us.
Good.
Lovely. And Mel?
Mel.
All right. Ooh. Lovely. Well, our contestants are there. The technology is all firing away. So, best of luck. Off to you, Ari, our quiz master of the day.
All right, ladies. Here we go. Maths, science and geography.
Mel. Deb.
Mel, definitely quickest.
Okay, Mel, what you got?
School subject.
That's it. You've done it. Okay. All right. That's number one down. Okay. Second one. You've got to get this, guys. Okay. Ready? Married at First Sight, Survivor and The Bachelor.
Mel.
Oh, my God. Look, that's so close. I'm going to give it to Deb for dramatic effect.
Okay. Deb, what is it?
Be dating shows.
We can't take that.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, it's up not. To Mel.
It's not dating. It's just reality shows or just TV shows.
There we go. Right. Okay, yeah. We're moving it along. No worries. All right, next one.
All right, the next one is drums, trombone, and flute.
Mel,
definitely quickest there.
A musical instrument.
That's it. Yeah,
hey, she's got it, done it. Mel is our winner for today. Now, Deb, you were yesterday's runner-up. Will you also be tomorrow's runner-up?
Why not?
Yeah! Only local winners.
Maybe two coffees before tomorrow, Deb, is my advice.
That is good advice.
New FM.
The Novos.
The Novos.
One for the foodies amongst us, which is all of us here in studio.
Yum, 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 yum.
I just discovered the coolest little eating experience, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think, and you guys can probably attest to this, the best restaurants serve meals that feel like they're homemade, made with love.
Yeah, I guess so.
That is, like, there's all fine dining, which is quite hoity-toity and all that. Mm-hmm. But then, when you go to some place and it's just a hearty meal, and you go, I wish I could cook something as good as this.
Yep.
And you know, it feels like it's within reach, but actually it's not.
That's right.
Like, I could probably do this. You can't. It just, I don't know, there's something about it which is so magical. Anyway, Joe Scarvella feels the same. So he's this gentleman whose grandmother unfortunately passed away in 1999.
Bless.
And missing that, he's like from an Italian family. So he's missing the traditional Italian family meal.
Oh, compare. Okay, yeah.
he started a restaurant where different Italian grandmothers or nonnas would cook the meals they served their families for decades.
Oh, so instead of...
There was no professional chefs.
Right.
No one with, like, you know, the culinary degree or all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, geez, this grandma's pretty good at cooking. Get her in the kitchen, pay her to do it. So now in 2024, this has grown, the concept's grown. They now have 30 different nonnas from 30 different countries, including like Japan, Peru, Sri Lanka, the list goes on and on and on. And these grandmas are on like a rotating basis, so like every night it kind of changes, which means the menu changes every night based on what the nonnas want to cook.
See, this is
awesome.
So good because when you see an old rock star or something and they play like their songs that they've been hits for 25 years.
Yeah.
And they play it so well because every concert they play that hit.
Yeah, it's tight, isn't it?
It's tight. It's unbelievable. And it's like a grandma who's cooked the same dish for, you know, 50 years maybe.
Yeah.
And they've perfected it. And of course it tastes amazing because they know exactly what ingredients to put in when.
And also with all these traditional dishes and things like that, through the generations, that really gets lost through the cookbooks and recipes not being shared and all the secrets and things. So this is actually a brilliant idea.
It's so funny. The age ranges as well vary between like 50 and 91 or something. The oldest none of them got's 91. So obviously they're not in there by themselves. They've got kitchen hands and stuff like that. But he was saying that sometimes the hardest nights are some of the nonnas, they have to like remind them that they're still cooking. They're out hugging everyone and kissing everyone.
Aww, you know, so cute. Oh,
you're enjoying the meal and all this sort of stuff. And then they forget that they're actually, you know, working. They've got to be in the kitchen cooking.
You know, the other great thing about that is that if everyone is loving their meal, nothing brings like a grandma more pleasure than a bunch of people going, oh my God, your food's delicious.
Yeah.
They're like, have another portion, have another spoon.
Well, that's it, especially with the Italian nonnas. That's all they do. It's like, you're not eating enough. Mangia.
More.
Yeah.
I love the idea as well, the novelty of not knowing what you're going to get until you rock up there. Basically, some nonna goes on the date, you know what, this is what I feel like cooking. I've decided this is the meal that I feel like today. And they just cook it and everyone's got no argument, you know, you eat what's on your plate, traditional family style, and you finish it, and everyone walks away with a full belly and a full heart. I think it's someone needs to bring this to Newcastle because we can't be letting everyone else get away with this kind of fun, novelty, beautiful restaurant idea. We need to bring it here, I think.
As soon as possible. Person that works next to me, has the shop next to me at Crevo's, they're a big fan of pink.
Right.
Big fan. Of course, Pink coming to Newcastle.
As is half the population. Yeah, this time next week, Pink will be here.
It's very, very soon.
I saw she touched down in Sydney like yesterday or the day before.
Really?
So she is here.
We're on
celeb watch, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly
are. If you're working at that Williamstown Maccas, you'd be on big watch out, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, because probably she'll come on the private jet.
You'd imagine so, yeah.
Anyway, obviously so excited when the first release of tickets came out. She had her daughter on, like, the iPad, the laptop, the phone, trying to get VIP tickets.
Right. Wow, that big of a fan.
Really big fan. She's like, I don't know when the next time I'll get to see Pink will be, who knows, and you'll never get it more convenient than right here in town.
Of course, yeah.
So what a great excuse. Save up the dollars and get the VIP tickets, right? Anyway, so she's so excited. Her daughter goes, Mum, I've got him on the phone. I've got him. I've got you the VIP tickets. Quite a lot of money. I think it's nearly a grand for the VIP set. Oh. Like, for maybe two. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I've got them for you. Excellent, she said. Send through the email with the details or whatever. Mm-hmm. Has a look. Apparently the daughter has accidentally clicked on the drop-down menu, Melbourne.
No, she hasn't.
So she has VIP tickets to Pink, but they are not in Newcastle.
Oh, my God.
They're in Melbourne.
Oh. You got to triple check these things before you book the ticket.
Yeah, but it's such a frantic moment.
There's
isn't
the
it?
Panic of being in that wait list, the Ticketmaster or Ticket Tech. I can't remember
the waiting room.
But
yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because you know tickets like that sell out so quick,
instantly. Usually,
that when you get your chance, you're like, all right, it's go time. Yeah. Got to get these tickets
credit
right
cards
now.
Ready, all that stuff. Anyway, so she's like, I can't get to Melbourne. So she's sold those tickets and really just trying to get VIP ones, but they're all sold out.
Heartbreaking, isn't it?
Absolutely heartbreaking. So this is what I wanted to do here. 4967-4105. What have your ticketing disasters been? A concert's one area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that can happen.
I mean, even just this week, Siobhan's cousin missed her flight.
Oh.
Just read the time wrong on the ticket.
On the ticket.
They just, they change it a few times, whoever it is, Qantas or Jetstar or whatever, they'll change it 3 or 4 times maybe leading up to your flight.
Yeah.
Eventually those emails become white noise. You're like, oh, I'm sick of all this bloody changing. Mm. Anyway, she should have been paid more attention, read the wrong time, missed the flight.
What a disaster. Mm. Another one that I had personally was it was a flight as well. I was looking at the ticket and it was one of those ones that's like 5 minutes past midnight or 10 minutes past midnight.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'm reading the date as like the day, the next day.
Oh.
But you really, you need
to... that morning.
Yeah, you really need to arrive the day before,
but at
night.
Yeah, correct.
Flight left 20-something hours ago.
No. That's way too stressful.
Heartbreaking. When you just stuff up the ticket in some way, shape or form, it is a disaster. To Maitland first, Greenkeeper Pete, what's your ticketing disaster?
Well, let me set the scene for you guys. This Representative Bowls, we're playing at Tamworth. There's 16 of the best sides go to play this once a year called the Inner Zone.
Right, okay. Prestigious.
Prestigious, yeah. So those secretaries booked all the accommodation, give us all the itinerary. We rock up to the motel in Tamworth, we book in, have a shower, put our team uniform on, go down to the club for a roll-up and a couple of frothies, and anyway, we're having a roll-up, and we said to the bar, and said, how come no one else here rolling up? He said, well, the bloody thing's not until next week.
Oh,
got the
no.
weekend wrong. Oh,
what a disaster.
Oh, no. It's expensive disaster as well, isn't it?
That really does suck. All right, now heading over to Windale. Good morning, Katrina. How you going?
Good.
That's good. So what was your ticketing disaster? What have you got for us?
We had to go to my husband's grandmother's funeral, and we booked our flights to go up there. We arrived at the airport and we booked them for the wrong day. And, so we had to try to explain to the family, oh, no, we can't get there. They wanted us to hire a car. We still wouldn't have made it. We missed the funeral.
Double disaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a nightmare that is.
Then you got to deal with the angry family. Oh, it just keeps on piling on. Mm-hmm. All right, to Warrabook next. Yvette, what's your ticketing disaster story?
Well, we love anything to do with Titanic, so they had a big exhibition down in Melbourne, so it was months and months to get these tickets. So we got the ticket, We roll up, we get down to Melbourne, you know, the flights and all this. Yep. And my sister made a mistake and we ended up seeing the Lego exposition with all the other 5-year-olds. And the strollers. And there was only, instead of people dying in a shit screaming, it was kids screaming.
Yeah.
Doesn't have quite
for like.
Not quite the same flair, though, is it? You know, it's a little bit different.
Oh, gosh.
I reckon the Lego would have still been pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take the wins where you can, right?
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
This is a story from the past as well. Its roots are, you know, back into the past.
Okay.
Basically, I guess you see a lot of signs for, like, world's best pie, world's best sandwich, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, like, when you go past them, I know I am anyway, I'm quite skeptical, but I never hold them to account. I never think, like, oh, this has got, what's the, you know, award you have that backs up this claim? You're kind of like, oh, sure. You're allowed to make a claim like that, aren't you?
Yeah, well, how can you prove it?
Well, it's such a subjective thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like we said, normally you kind of let these claims fly. You're like, let it go and just kind of like, oh, well, even if you are skeptical, you're like, well, there's no way you can prove or disprove it. But one restaurant in India is trying to, I guess, take one of these claims to the court.
Oh.
So there's two restaurants currently in Delhi, India, which are battling out for the claim to have, I guess, the host or be the origin of the butter chicken.
Wait, so what? Like the world's first butter chicken.
The home of butter chicken, the world's first butter chicken. Now, obviously, this is one of the most popular curries, particularly in the Western world.
Yes.
So to be the home of the butter chicken is quite a large, I guess, title to hold.
Well, and also, can you imagine the media, come up on Google really high up and stuff like that.
Mm.
It's funny, though, and we talked about before, I guess, with, like, you know, world's best sandwich, world's best pies. It's hard to prove this sort of stuff.
Mm.
And that's what they're up against at the moment. There's a lot of, like, he said, she said. So both of these companies reckon it dates back to 1947 was the original butter chicken. But there's a lot of, oh, what day do you reckon you made it? Oh, 2nd of March. Oh, yeah. Nah, this was actually the 1st. You know, there's a bit of that gear going on at the moment, which is outrageous.
Yeah.
So as well as seeking the right to call themselves the inventor of the butter chicken, this family is seeking about $350,000 worth of damages. I don't know how they're claiming that. Now, the matter is before the courts at the moment, but they reckon that the Indian court system is notoriously slow. And they reckon, right, that they've got an estimated 50 million cases pending in front of them at the moment. So they've got their little ticket from the, like, deli, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
They've got it from a little Coles deli, and they've got, we're 50 million and one on this list. You'd be sitting in the waiting room of the court for a long time, wouldn't you?
And it's so true. Like, the court system over there is wildly overrun, and part of it is to do with the paperwork. So I remember one time when I was traveling in India, had to go into, like, it was not a police post, but something like that, government place, and you could see behind them, right, there was just rooms just full of papers.
Right.
Absolutely filled with papers. And you're like, they're not in filing cabinets, nothing, just stacked high.
What are they doing then? Just not working at all.
I don't think it's that. I think there's just
their system, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
And they're just so overwhelmed that things like this, it might be 10 years before it actually comes before the court.
Well, that's what they reckon. And, like, so even if they do hypothetically win this in, like, say, 15 years' time, $350,000 in 15 years' time is not going to be $350,000 today, is it?
No, absolutely not.
The value goes down.
I just love the pettiness of this argument. It's so he said, she said. How can you claim to invent a it's just ingredients in a bowl, isn't it? Anyone could have done it at any time.
And who thought of it first?
Well, that's it. And where was it documented? Oh, it's so petty. I love it. I think it's so interesting. But I guess we'll come back with you with the results in 10 to 15 years' time.
UFM. The Novos. The Novos.
At the shop, at Crevo's shop, I was unpacking some, like, china that someone had sold to us.
Mm-hmm.
And wrapped around this cup was a piece of newspaper. I was like, geez, that looks like an old newspaper. I opened it up. It was Newcastle Herald from 1981.
Really?
What's that, 43 years ago or something now?
Yeah, I guess so.
Quick maths.
I don't know.
So what? That was just used as, like, padding to keep the china safe.
That's right.
It wasn't an actual item.
No. It was just
a bonus little cherry on top.
It's all sort of ripped up and stuff. But the page that was wrapped around this cup was the Woolworths specials page.
Right.
So they've been advertising the same sort of specials, you know, all of the, I guess, essentials.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. They've taken out a full page spread to try and get people into the store.
Right.
Okay. The Woolies stores around Newcastle. And let's just say prices have changed a little bit.
Okay.
I can assume so.
So we'll start off, they've got like the 500 gram of frozen chips.
Right, okay.
So that's one of the things I've got there. Now, if you bought them then, you would have paid just 59 cents.
No, you would not have.
What?
For half a kilo of frozen chips.
Wow.
What are they now, like $9 or something?
Correct, around that.
You can't buy half a kilo of potatoes for 50 cents, can you?
No, exactly.
You can't buy a lollipop for 50 cents either.
Prices have changed. How about this? Speaking of, you know, the sweeter things, they have like a 20-pack of mixed street ice creams. You know, that sounds, they like your servo ice creams.
20-pack as well.
Big box. Mm. You could have bought that for $2.55.
Well, that's a cheap dessert. Cheap night out.
God, it's painful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's painful to hear this.
I think if you go and buy like a Cornetto from, say, the servo, you're up for about $5.
Yeah, double
at the moment. And you would have had 20 ice creams for that money.
Wow.
A half of that. How about steak? Steak these days, right up there.
This one's
going
to hurt.
Even the cheapest steak is sort of over $25 a kilo these days.
Yeah.
You could have had delicious steak for $2.99 a kilo.
It's outrageous, isn't it? It's just unbelievable.
I mean, how many steaks do you get in a kilo? Like 8 or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, something like that, probably.
It'd be like 70 cents a steak.
Wow.
This is insanity. It makes me really upset. Now I can't afford anything, but you could back in that day.
I mean, and here's another one. Like, the price of butter at the moment's really high. Like, a lot of people pay $8, $9 for, like, a tub of butter.
Yeah.
It was 60 cents.
Oh,
60
great.
Cents. And like the 80s, I mean, it's still, that was mobile phones already invented then. It's not like we've gone back 100 years or something.
Yeah.
But the prices of things have just gone up so much in such a short time. And this is not, you know, some old American newspaper. This is from right here in Newcastle.
Mm. Yeah.
It's outrageous. Cost of living is through the roof.
Yeah, we're still getting done in with the avocado on toast. I get blamed, doesn't it? Unbelievable.
The avocado's not to blame. It's the price of living.
100% locally made, live across Newcastle. This is 105.3 New FM and the Novos.
Now, I like to call myself a Novacastrian, right? But there's a couple times here and there where I realise that I've still got so much to learn.
So much converting to do.
Exactly, exactly.
It'll happen soon.
Maybe I'm not quite there yet, and I'm trying my best. But it's moments like where you find the hidden, well, I think it's a hidden gem, and everyone's like, oh, obviously.
Known about that for years.
Known about that for years. Over the weekend, went and had a meal at the Cummie. At the Commonwealth Hotel.
Oh.
I think it's in, it might be Cook's Hill.
Yeah.
It's on Union Street there.
Yes.
Oh, my God, the feed was unbelievable.
Really?
I've been trying to tell everyone about it, you know, like,
it
you
is
know,
good
family
there.
And friends, and everyone's like, well, of course. Like,
been there, done that.
Yeah, we knew it was good. Of course, it's our favourite pub feed.
What
you know?
Was your order?
So we got, Siobhan and I got, like, a salad and some tacos and some chips between us.
Mm-hmm. And share, did a little share.
But we were there with some friends as well. Our friends, Chippy and Eileen, a different Chippy, not our producer Chippy. Anyway, they got schnitzels. They thought they were unbelievable as well. All of us were there, left so full and so happy.
So that little taco chip thing, that's now known as the Steven, if you go in there to order it. That's
not
what
quite. No, that's not the case at all. But it's so funny. Yes. I've been trying to tell so many people, you know, oh, my God, I had the best meal there. Everyone's like, of course. Of course you did.
Always delicious.
Since forever.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'll just put myself back in my box. That's the last time I suggest
Welcome
anything.
Welcome to the Commie Club.
There you go.
Oh, I like that. It's got a little ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
New FM's Speed Budding. For love. Ripitgolf.com.
And our brand new Valentine's speed putting competition, obviously setting up for Valentine's Day, is well and truly underway. Obviously, our little comp started over the weekend at newfm.com.au. That's where all of our 18 single males and 18 single females are signing up to play a bit of putt-putt, Rippitt Golf here in Broadmeadow. So that's very exciting. So this is coming up on Monday night. And, of course, us three will be there to help our singles navigate the evening. It's very, very exciting. So, again, Rippitt Golf putting on the pizzas and the drinks, and our singles will enjoy a quick chat over 18 holes of putt-putt golf.
I think you learn a lot about someone through putt-putt as well.
That's right.
Mm. Like, you know, like if someone comes with their own putter, you're like, they're taking this pretty serious.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
You can gauge how someone is as a winner or a loser.
That's right. If they miss as well, and they throw the putter down and storm off and go, ooh, that person is sexy. I like it when somebody storms off. Or maybe that's not your thing. Who knows?
Well, that's it. Different strokes for different folks. So that's
what you did there.
That's why we've got 18 different singles of both male and female. You know, so there's plenty of variety there and plenty of different holes to try out your craft on, I suppose.
Sure. Let's meet our, I guess, contestant slash potential love finder for this morning.
Yeah, let's head to Blackalls Park. Morning, Corey. How's things?
Hey, mate. How you doing?
I am very well, very well. Are you excited for Monday coming up? Excited to, I guess, perhaps meet, you know, a future soulmate? Someone?
Well, it has to be better than all the dating sites. So, yeah, definitely keen to try this speed dating thing.
Okay. Absolutely. Fair I enough. Mean, that's it. I mean, it'll be a great story for the future. Have you got your outfit picked out yet already?
No, I might have to go shopping. Have you got any ideas?
Oh, well, I think we'll have to set a dress code, won't we?
Maybe it's
like kind of nice casual, smart casual maybe?
Yeah,
like a button-up shirt?
Like a leather jacket?
think the fonts.
That's no worries, yeah.
Okay,
Corey likes that answer. All right, Corey, well, we'll ask you a couple of questions just so our listeners can kind of get to know you and, of course, whoever might be wanting to match up with you as well on the night can kind of get a bit of a feel about what you're about. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, so kind of a fun couple of questions. So first one I've got for you, Corey, is best servo ice cream. What's the best ice cream you can get at a servo?
Let's go the Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
That's a fun ice cream.
It's a fun answer, isn't
it?
That's interesting. Now, our scientists, they're tapping away in the background, of course. They're trying to find you your best match, Corey. So they've given us these questions. They're tailored for you. And, you know, I don't want to question their integrity, but this question they put in front of me here, I'm not sure the relevance. What they've asked me to ask you is a zebra black with white stripes or white with black stripes?
Okay, I think a zebra is black with white.
Interesting. Okay. They're typing away.
Look at the scientist over there. He's nodding in the background. I think you got that one right. That's good. That's good.
Okay. In his lab coat and everything. Yeah. All right. We'll ask you one more question here, Corey. What do you think that your boss tells their friends about you?
Oh, I'm at work now, so I've got to be quiet. But
okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I kind of... I get too excited. I talk too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe your boss is saying the same thing that your teacher said right through his school. You know, distracts others and easily distracted. That kind of gear.
That was definitely one of the comments on every report card I had.
There we go.
Corey sounds like a bit of fun.
I know.
So
I like
if you're
this.
Listening and you think, you know what, I want to meet Corey. Corey's going to be there.
A bit of Corey.
Corey's of course invited to our speed putting at Rippitt Golf Broadmeadow on Monday. And if you want to be there as well, perhaps meet Corey or any of our other eligible singles, newfm.com.au is the place to go. Fill out the little questionnaire there, the little form, and you might be getting some pizza and some putt-putt on us. Plus, you might find the love of your life.
That is the dream.
We're basically done for the day, too. What's everyone up to this afternoon? Anything exciting?
I might be going to trivia. I haven't brushed up on my Harry Potter knowledge yet, but I might be heading to Adamstown to Nag's Head and competing with, you know, my
that's
partner.
That's a brunker, isn't it?
Yeah. So
quite competitive to get in, isn't it, on the tickets?
It is.
Have you gotten your tickets yet?
Well, my good friend Amy, she was meant to get some tickets for us, so I don't know if she's secured our spot yet. If not, I'm heading into SJ's. Our producer Chippy is putting on trivia, so I'm just going to go to that instead.
Are you a big Harry Potter fan?
Oh, yeah. Big nerd. Huge.
All right, so this is cutthroat. This is going to be a massive night for trivia all around Newcastle and the Hunter. I'm off for another competition, I suppose. I've got footy training pre-season for the mighty Cardiff Hawks.
That's right. You're the number one draft. That's
footy,
what I heard.
Footy training is such a loose term when you don't touch the footy for the first hour. It's just running, isn't it? That's called running training. I can't believe they label it as footy training. So
that'll be your evening.
Conditioning.
Let's not forget about some of the things we've got going on here at New FM. Cash Tracks is back at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one worth $105.
God.
You've got to have that title and artist ready when, you know, Joel asked for the Alive and Local drive home yesterday. $420 given away to Leisha from Toronto. What a fantastic day and a great start to it. Also, our caller of the day, Greg in Raymond Terrace, he got stuck on the roof while he was painting and his ladder fell away. He had to stay there for 2.5 hours just painting and sitting there waiting for the owner of the house to come home.
Exciting news as well. I mean, of course, Greg's walking away with in-season passes to One Love, the Bob Marley film, of course.
Sure.
Coming soon, very shortly.
Biopic.
Other exciting news, though, is New FM's where the Whiz Kid comes back tomorrow. It's our first one of 2024.
Yeah.
So if you've got like a school-age student, a primary school-age student, who's like keen to get in and get a bit of a radio experience and read the weather for us here at New FM, head to newfm.com.au, register them there, and of course, then they can be part of the show. It's a bit of fun. You get a certificate, you get a little voucher, it's all the good stuff.
The best part about it, only local winners.
That's
absolutely
it.
We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
We'll catch you then.
Bye.
That was the Novos. You want more, right? Sure. Just head to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or newfm.com.au, and you can relive all the fun again and again and again.